The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All camps have outbreaks of some sort pretty frequently. Almost every summer, there's some kind of outbreak of something because everyone's living in such close contact with each other. We have so many kids, so many people living so close together. So, you know, impetigo is extremely contagious, but it's pretty benign. The same for things like stomach viruses and colds. In fact, I noticed that as the weeks pass in camp, more and more kids start coming in asking for cold medication. And that's because they all start to catch it from each other. Plus, they're getting less sleep than normal, so that's not great for the immune system. So don't be surprised if your child comes home with a cold. It's good for everyone to know this, even with healthy children. It is an inevitable part of being in camp.
Giving birth is one of the most significant events of your life. Sadly, the joy that you should feel can often be replaced with anxiety and helplessness instead. As a labor and delivery nurse, I'm revealing insider information to educate you, reassure you, and decrease your fear. In this podcast, you'll hear empowering birth stories and experts weigh in on a range of topics. Being Jewish also has me exploring Judaism's influence on the reproductive experience. However, I speak to anyone wishing to navigate their journey with more joy and confidence. I'm your host, Chani Fingerer, and you're listening to the Happy Birthway Podcast.
Welcome to episode 48 of the Happy Birthway Podcast. This episode will be a little different from the usual content here. You might not know this, but in the summers, I work as a camp nurse in Camp Sternberg, which is an awesome camp, by the way. I'm going to be there second half this summer. So if you are sending your daughter to Camp Sternberg, then tell them that they can say hello. Since it's camp season, I have to tell you, I spent all day today just rummaging through all of my kids' stuff, what they have, what they don't have, pulling out the duffel bags and those containers, you know, those drawers, the plastic drawers, and just all of the camp stuff. It's so much work. It's so much work. And then, like, you send them to camp, and then you have to start with the packages. God bless the camps that don't allow packages. And with the emails and with the, you know, putting the money in their canteen. And oh my gosh, it's like never ending. It's like a lot. It's a lot of work sending your kid to camp. But I'm grateful that I have the privilege to do so. I absolutely loved camp as a child. And that's how I ended up being a camp nurse, because I figured out how to come back to camp as an adult in my role. So now that it's camp season, I was thinking that I have so much information and so many questions that I get from parents when I am in the role of a camp nurse. So I want to talk about camp health with you if you are sending your child to sleepaway camp, or just if you're interested in hearing about this area. So I'm going to be talking about the top issues that come up in camp, both for children who have any kind of medical condition and for your healthy child that you're sending, so that you understand some information and what to expect. First of all, submit all of your updated medical forms, your health insurance information, and many camps have a form asking you or your physician to sign off on your child to be able to receive over-the-counter medications. Some only require the parent to sign off on it. There's like usually a list of like Tylenol, Motrin, phenylephrine, Miralax, Zyrtec, etc., things like that, you know, like stomach medications, just really common over-the-counter medications that we give. And some only require the parent to sign off, but there are others that require a physician's signature. In Camp Sternberg, I haven't checked if the policy changed this summer, but as of last summer, the rule was that the physician had to sign that form. And unfortunately, many parents missed that memo and they just signed it on their own, which I understand their logic, but then it was just a big fat pain when their child needed some kind of over-the-counter medication. And we couldn't give it to their child until they fixed it and figured out, you know, and fixed that form. So it's really a shame when your child can't get Tylenol or cold medication because they don't have that form. So really take it seriously. Make sure to sign off on it because camps are strict about it. We have rules and regulations in order to keep kids safe. And you may not understand the logic behind it. Sometimes it is annoying, but ultimately at the end of the day, it's for your kid's safety. So make sure that you're compliant because you don't want your child waiting to get Tylenol for their headache. Now, secondly, if your child regularly takes a medication, including over-the-counter meds or vitamins, so if your child takes daily Zyrtec, okay, which is an over-the-counter allergy medication, or they take a daily vitamin C, whatever it may be, make sure that you read the camp's medication policy. If it needs to be packaged a certain way, make sure that you do it. Otherwise, there is a 99% chance that you will be getting a call from the nurse informing you that you now have to go through the trouble of packaging the medications correctly, and you will probably also have to pay an extra fee to rush it. So again, this is referring to all medications. So not just medications that you get that are prescription medications, like, you know, Adderall or some kind of asthma medication. But I'm talking about even over-the-counter medications and vitamins because they are still considered a medication. And I can't tell you the number of parents that every summer we get a number of parents that think that they can be the exception to the rule. Why can't you just open the pill bottle and give my daughter a pill every day? And you have to know that the medication packaging requirements are there to help the nurses get your child's meds to them safely and efficiently. We don't want to keep kids waiting in line every day. And opening up a bottle and rummaging for their pill, and if we spill a pill by mistake, etc., and there's a line of 20 kids behind them that are all rushing, that's not an effective way to give your children medication. So that's why many camps have a rule of single packaging medications, you know, and kids are going to be less likely to want to come on their own to get those medications. So these really are there in order to be an efficient way to get all of the medications to every single child. Many camps require that all medications be stored in the health center, and they do not allow any medications in the bunkhouse, including over-the-counter meds like Tylenol or Advil. So that means that if your child takes, you know, an over-the-counter medication like Zyrtec, like I said before, that still needs to be packaged in the way that the camp requires because it still needs to be kept in the health center, and your child will come to the health center every single day in order to receive that medication. You know, that also extends to creams and things like, you know, Miralax, which is something that a powder that a kid will take for constipation, any liquid medications. Melatonin is a common one. Even if you think you can sneak medications in with your child and tell them to keep it secret, somehow the counselors will find out, and their counselors are instructed to bring any medications that they find in the bunkhouse from the children to us. And I kid you not, we one time had a counselor come in with like this little tube, M&M tube. And there were like little melatonins in there. Apparently, they were melatonins as per what the mother had told us. But we don't know what they are. They were just like white pills. For all I know, it was like some controlled substance. Please do not do that. This policy of not keeping medications in the bunkhouse, including seemingly benign meds like Tylenol, is to ensure all of the camper's safety because Tylenol may not be benign to everyone. Kids can mix up which medication is which. Other campers can get a hold of the medication and take it, such as the time when this didn't happen on my watch, but I heard this story from a camp nurse I worked with, actually in a different camp, not in Sternberg, but that a child had gummy bear vitamins that were really delicious. So another kid like took a whole bunch because they tasted so good, and they're vitamins, right? So they can't be bad. And they overdosed themselves on iron. They were practically had enough iron to make themselves into a chicken soup pot. So some parents also don't want their kids taking a medication like melatonin. And so if your child decides that they're going to bring melatonin and they'll be like, oh, this is great. You can't fall asleep. Take this. It tastes delicious and it will help you sleep. What if that kid's parent doesn't want their child to be taking melatonin? The kid may not even know that their parent doesn't want them to be taking this medication. So if the kids keep the bottles of medication in their bunk it's more likely that other kids will get a hold of it and take it unsafely, you know, in unsafe doses, etc. And also, we want to keep track of your child's safety. So if we have the Advil and Tylenol, and if your kid comes into us complaining of a headache, we'll know that there are some common causes of headaches that kids have in camp. One of them, a really common cause, is dehydration. And so, you know, we'll still probably give your child headache medication. We won't withhold it from them, but we'll ask them, like, have you been drinking? You know, these are the common questions that we'll ask the child. And if the child says, no, I haven't been drinking a lot, or we'll ask the child, how much did you drink today? And the kid will say, well, I drank 2 Cokes. And we'll tell them, no, that's not. And we'll instruct them, and we'll actually teach them about proper hydration and what to look out for. And they'll get that health education. So it's helpful for us to actually find out the root of a problem and not just a headache. You know, we'll have kids coming in that are having cramps and asking for Advil. Now, if it's period cramps, then that makes sense to give them Advil. But if their stomach is already hurting them, Advil is going to make their stomach hurt them more, and they don't know that. And they'll be asking us for Advil in order to help alleviate their stomach pain. So again, these are, you know, part of the reasons why it would be safer to for us to be administering these medications to children. But even if you disagree and you don't understand, at the end of the day, if this is a camp rule, then your children need to adhere to it. Before we continue, I wanted to let you know about a revolutionary diaper brand called Diaper, D-Y-P-E-R. These eco-friendly diapers are made with viscose from bamboo, so they're soft on your baby's skin while still being extra absorbent to handle your baby's biggest accidents. Diaper wants to pass on the savings directly to you by cutting out the middleman. They ship your diapers to you for a low, predictable price with no extras or gotchas. Set your subscription and let them deliver the exact quantity you need. If you need more, they'll deliver them promptly with their exclusive SOS service. If you need less, send them back with a prepaid label. You can precisely manage your deliveries using their website or their mobile app. One of the products that I think is really cool is their diaper sense. It's a small sensor that you attach to your baby's diaper, and it continuously monitors the temperature and humidity surrounding their skin. It will help you optimize your diaper changes, reduce overall diaper use, and may help reduce instances of skin rash due to prolonged exposure to moisture. All you do is snap it to the outside of the diaper and connect it to Diaper's app. It will notify you when number one or number two happens. Subscribe through the link in my show notes and you will get a free bonus diaper bag just for trying them out. You can cancel anytime with no obligation, but still keep the bag. Pregnancy and birth take a huge toll on your pelvic and abdominal organs. One in every 5 women in the United States suffers from some form of pelvic organ prolapse. There are very few pelvic support belts for women with a prolapsed uterus, vulvar varicose veins, pubic symphysis, drop bladder, etc. that exist on the market today. The products that do exist lack in comfort and fit. That's why Braceability has made it their mission to create a supportive, effective, and comfortable pelvic brace. After months of research, development, and testing, Braceability now introduces the brand new Pelvic Pro. It's an undergarment that's created to relieve aches and pains associated with pelvic floor dysfunction through innovative compression therapy. It's designed to keep you active and on the go. The Pelvic Pro helps alleviate the feeling that everything is going to fall out of the bottom. Braceability also has a huge array of pregnancy and postpartum belly wraps to support you through pregnancy and birth, including C-section abdominal binders. Click on Braceability's link in my episode show notes and enter Happy Birthway to get an exclusive discount of 15% on your whole order. Having a fussy, nonstop crying baby can take all the joy out of motherhood. Is it gas? Is it constipation? Is it colic? It's hard to know, but there is a solution for all of those. Happy Tummy is a waistband that comes with an herbal pouch. When you microwave the pouch and apply the waistband to your fussy baby, your baby is instantly soothed. That's thanks to natural formulation of herbs including flaxseed, chamomile, lemongrass, peppermint, spearmint, and lavender. Happy Tummy is all natural, no drugs or drops. And not only does it quickly soothe your baby, but it smells terrific. Happy Tummy also has adult-sized waistbands, which mothers love for cramps, stomach aches, and back aches. Use my code HAPPYBIRTHWAY for 10% off your whole order on happytummy.com. That's HAPPYTUMMI.com, code HAPPYBIRTHWAY for 10% off. And actually, another reason why it's not a good idea to keep meds in the bunkhouse is because of the uncontrolled temperatures in the bunkhouse. Most of them do not have air conditioning, and they can reach really high temperatures. This hot temperature can spoil medication or make them lose their potency. And the only meds that your child might get permission to keep in their bunkhouse, if that's a camp rule that you can't keep meds in the bunkhouse, are rescue medications like an EpiPen or a Benadryl or an inhaler. But it's a good idea to send one to keep in the bunkhouse. So usually, you know, EpiPens come in a package of two. So one to be kept in the bunkhouse for immediate use, and then the other one to be kept in the health center in a controlled temperature environment. And that goes for an inhaler as well. If your child just has like a daily inhaler, maintenance inhaler, then they should be keeping that in the health center. But if they have a rescue inhaler, then obviously they should keep that on them. And it's a good idea to actually get them like a fanny pack or something in order for them to keep it there so that they have it on them at all times. The same thing goes for an EpiPen. But if you are concerned, on the topic of rescue meds, if your child has anaphylactic allergies, make sure to let the nurse know. If they have an EpiPen, make sure their counselors are trained on how to use it, and make sure their counselors know that if they complain of any signs of an allergic reaction, they should get them to the health center immediately, and they must take it seriously. And talk to your child about this as well so that they know to advocate for themselves in case they feel like their concerns are not being addressed. If your child has a history of allergies, of like environmental seasonal allergies, even if typically in the summer they don't have the allergies and they have it maybe springtime, it's still a good idea to keep them on allergy meds for the summer. Because what I see happen is that upstate there are a whole, you know, the camps are in the woods, so there's plenty of different weeds and pollens from the trees and from the grass, and a lot of them are not the same ones that kids are exposed to wherever they normally live, and so it can really make new allergies act up. If your child has a diagnosis of ADHD or any other behavioral diagnosis, please, please, please do not withhold this information from the staff. And there are many reasons why you should not be withholding the information from the staff. But one of the reasons why it's important for them to know is that if there are any behavioral issues with your child, they will treat them differently if they understand the cause. If your child has ADHD and they're being disruptive, then they're less likely to think that your child is a disrespectful kid if they know that your child has ADHD. And some parents think that their child has ADHD, but they only need their medication during the year for school, and that they don't need it in camp, right? Because they're not sitting at a desk in camp needing to concentrate. But this cannot be further from the truth. Camp is not a free-for-all. The days in camp are very structured. Your child is required to comply with rules. They have to keep track of their belongings. They have to be on time for activities and know where they have to be at all times. And ADHD can set them back with all of these things. It can also interfere socially. If your child behaves atypically, it can be a turnoff to other kids, right? If your child is impulsive or if they overshare, which are both common characteristics of a child with ADHD. You know, camp is short and expensive. So you want to give your child all of the possible tools that they can have to get the most out of it. Sometimes I've called parents a week into camp because of behavioral issues, only to find out that their child has ADHD. And they didn't think it was important for the camp staff to know. And at this point, when I have a child with behavioral issues, I will actually point blank ask the parents, does your child take any medications during the year? Does your child have any behavioral diagnosis? And I'll get the answer, well, yeah, they take medications during the year, but it's not really relevant. Like, I've had this multiple times. So it's very important to know that if you are the parent of a child with ADHD that is going to camp, please make sure to keep them on their medications. And with these kids whose parents didn't send their medications and didn't disclose this information, when we got them their medications, they did so much better for the rest of the time. But the poor kid lost out on so much valuable time and suffered for no reason when they're supposed to be having an amazing experience at camp. And the other kids in their bunk now got the first impressions of them and maybe got turned off. And now they have to play catch up and show these kids, you know, that they want to be friends with, that they really are able to be a good friend. Some parents will withhold a different behavioral or mental health diagnosis. Oftentimes I see it that it's because they're afraid that their kid will not get accepted into a certain camp of their choice. Let me tell you, if a camp refuses to accept a child because of that, they are not the place that you want your child in. They are not equipped to give your child what they need to have a happy and wonderful experience in camp. And camp can either be an amazing experience or a horrible one if it's not the right fit. So look out for your child and put them in an environment where they'll thrive, not one that's going to work against them. And if you're afraid to disclose this information, it's likely that this is not the camp for them. Okay, bedwetting. If your child has a bedwetting problem, even if it's just occasional, make sure that they go on medication for it in camp. Even if they don't take medication for it during the year because it's something that doesn't happen frequently. This is because it can be extremely embarrassing for them if they have an accident. And it can also cause them a lot of anxiety because they're afraid that they're going to have an accident and that the kids in the bunk are going to find out. And again, don't try to hide it and put it in a discreet bottle, an M&M's bottle or something in your kid's backpack and tell them to take it and not tell the nurses because you're embarrassed for us to know. We deal with this all the time. You have no idea how many kids I know, and I'm talking about older kids. I'm not talking about 9-year-olds. I'm talking about 14-year-olds who may have a bedwetting problem and we give medications to. We see this all the time. So please do not be embarrassed to let us know. And this way, we'll be able to make sure that your child receives their medication every single day. We are very on top of kids who receive medication like this because if they forget and they end up having an accident, it can be extremely unpleasant. So, you know, what I'm saying is that for these kinds of conditions, there may be other conditions similar to bedwetting that I can't think of on the spot, but treat them on the aggressive side, even if normally at home you wouldn't, because camp, as I said before, is short and expensive and you want your child to enjoy every second of it. And this is also the philosophy that we use when treating kids that get sick in the health center. We want them to get better and back to regular programming ASAP. So if they have an ear infection, for example, while at home, you may wait a bit before giving them antibiotics. In camp, you will probably want to give them those antibiotics sooner because camp is short and they want to get back to having fun with the rest of their bunk. They don't want to be feeling unwell. And the same goes for something like skin infections. A few summers ago, there was a terrible outbreak of impetigo in camp. And impetigo is an extremely, extremely contagious skin infection that spreads like wildfire. And all camps have outbreaks of some sort pretty frequently. Almost every summer, there's some kind of outbreak of something because everyone's living in such close contact with each other. We have so many kids, so many people living so close together. So, you know, impetigo is extremely contagious, but it's pretty benign. It may look really horrible and ugly and angry and even maybe scary, but, you know, unless you delay the treatment very, very long, it's a pretty benign kind of infection. So a lot of parents were very angry that their kids were getting infected, but we treated it aggressively, and it is an inevitable part of being in camp. So it's good for everyone to know this, even with healthy children. This goes the same for things like stomach viruses and colds. In fact, I noticed that as the weeks pass in camp, more and more kids start coming in asking for cold medication. And that's because they all start to catch it from each other. Plus, they're getting less sleep than normal, so that's not great for the immune system. So don't be surprised if your child comes home with a cold. If you have been struggling with nausea and vomiting from your pregnancy, Emmeterm might be the answer for you. Emmeterm is a safe and effective anti-nausea wristband that prevents and relieves nausea and vomiting induced by pregnancy or motion, such as car and boat rides. It releases a low-frequency pulse that travels through the body's nervous system to the part of the brain which controls the stomach. This interrupts the nausea signal pathways. Emmeterm is FDA-cleared and designed to put you in control when you need drug-free therapy with
no worries about potential side effects. Users can choose from 5 levels of intensity to achieve the best effect. The unique wristband design holds the device in place and makes it easy to put on and take off. It is FSA and HSA eligible, comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee and a 1-year warranty. Go to emeterm.com, that's emeterm.com, and use code HAPPYBIRTHWAY for 20% off of your purchase. You can find the link in the episode show notes. KiwiCo crates are a monthly subscription of crates that come filled with age-appropriate STEAM projects for kids, from toddlers to teenagers and even adults. STEAM stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, Art, and Math. Every crate explores a different theme designed to spark creativity, thinking, and learning. All projects, inspiration, and activities are created by a team of product designers in-house and rigorously tested by kids. KiwiCo offers all different product lines spanning a variety of interests and age ranges. Panda Crate is for babies from 0 to 24 months. Each crate helps babies learn by doing what they do best, playing, exploring, and most importantly, interacting with the people in their lives. Crates arrive every other month and are filled with 2 months' worth of content, so if you are trying to figure out what a developmentally appropriate way to interact with your baby is, Panda Crates will take the guesswork out. For an exclusive 30% off discount on your first month subscription, go to kiwico.com, that's KIWICO.com, and enter code LEARN30 at checkout. That's kiwico.com, code LEARN30 at checkout. One of the most common symptoms of colds are a sore throat. So naturally, they're all begging for strep tests. But most of the time, I have to tell you, it's unnecessary. There's something called the Center Score. You can actually look it up. And it's a reliable screening tool to determine whether someone should have a strep test. There are several different criteria that they need to meet. They get a score. And based on that score, it's either likely that they have strep or that they should have a strep test or almost very, very, very highly unlikely. It's extremely reliable. So very highly unlikely that they, you know, have strep and they wouldn't need a strep test. So we examine your child's throat and we consider other factors that we have to weigh in that are part of that center score, like a fever, before we decide whether to give your child a strep test or not, because these tests cost money. So, you know, we can't give them out with abandon. We have to be responsible and, you know, be efficient with our resources. However, when they do qualify for a strep test and they do test positive, we're kind of happy, actually, since we know how to treat their fever. And we know that they can go back to their bunk after being on antibiotics for 24 hours. Versus if a child gets sick with another contagious illness and has a fever, our policy is to keep them in the health center until they have no fever for 24 hours without needing fever medication. Meaning, if they took Tylenol, we start counting the 24 hours 6 hours after their last dose of anti-fever medication. So let's say, you know, essentially 30 hours after they took their last Tylenol. And sometimes it can be frustrating because it can take quite a few days for the kids not to have fever anymore. And some parents get upset and don't understand, why is it taking so long for their kid to get back into their programming? You know, they took a Tylenol, they're fever free overnight. So why can't they just go back? Why do they have to stay an additional night? And I totally understand the frustration. Like I said, again, so many times, camp is short and expensive and you want your child to have, you know, to get the most out of it every single second. But they can be contagious within that 24-hour period. And we don't want them going back prematurely and then infecting all the other kids in their bunk. So it's done as a precaution for all of the campers. And, you know, is in your child's best interest too, because you don't want another bunkmate of theirs coming back prematurely and infecting them. If you have a daughter going to camp who did not yet get her period, please make sure that she's educated about it and send pads with her in case she gets it in camp. And, you know, when a girl gets her period in camp, she usually comes to us in the infirmary and we try to give her some extra TLC and we make it positive. And while we do have pads, it's really nice for your daughter to have her own stash so she just feels more comfortable, and just teach her how to use it. You know, any girl that's going to camp is old enough to get her period. That's how I see it. If she's old enough to be on her own, you know, usually by at youngest age, they're 9 or 10, and girls can get their period at 9 or 10. You know, they're not 5-year-old girls that are going to camp independently to sleepaway camp. Another thing that I see commonly is constipation. If your child is prone to constipation, know that they are even more likely to get constipated in camp.
since their diet is very different than it is at home. The food is more greasy, they're eating less fiber, and they're eating at odd hours of the day, like having potato chips and a bag of taffies at 10 p.m. So educate them about how frequently they should be having bowel movements, and that they should go to the health center if they are having bowel movements less frequently, or if their stool is hard, or it's hard to pass, or if they experience hemorrhoids. If your child tends to need medications such as Miralax at home, discuss with your pediatrician whether it might be a good idea to put them on a regimen of actually taking it daily in camp in order to avoid these problems, which will interfere with how they are enjoying camp. You know, so it's much easier to come to the health center every single day to get your dose of Miralax versus having to suffer with cramps and stomach pain and constipation, and that interferes with all of the activities that they should be enjoying. If your child gets injections of any sort, be they allergies, and by the way, most doctors are okay to send your child's allergy shots to camp for us to do it, just so you know that. So if your child is receiving them, ask the doctor. Or if they come for a growth hormone injection or injections for other autoimmune conditions, then we can do the injections. However, the cool thing is that they get to see other kids who are doing their own injections. And, you know, they see that because when they come for med time, the other kids are there. And this encourages them to learn how to do it on their own. We also help them learn how I like to do hand over hand, you know. So we help them learn how to do these injections. And it's very rewarding when I send a kid home from camp who now knows how to give themselves their injection independently. And it's interesting because I've seen 9-year-olds come into camp doing their injections completely on their own, no problem. And then I see 16-year-olds who are absolutely terrified to give themselves the injection. And if they're willing to learn, then I love teaching it to them. You know, no one knows what the injections are for unless the kids share it with each other. But and we are very careful in the health center to keep things confidential. We're very mindful of that in general for any condition. And this goes for any meds that we administer to the kids. So, you know, of course, if we think it's necessary knowledge for the counselors, such as something like bedwetting possibly or, you know, behavioral issues, then we would tell them. But we're very discriminating. And if we do tell the counselors, then we are very emphatic that this is confidential information and would be a breach of their professional role in, you know, if they share that information with anyone else. Now, parents, please have the personal safety talk with your kids before sending them to camp. I don't have the time here to go into the details of what should and shouldn't be spoken about, but know that camp is an opportune time for kids to get taken advantage of, and knowledge is power. Actually, if you have Instagram, you can go find the Confident Kala. She is an OBGYN, a firm OBGYN that is wonderful, and she recently did a live with, I forgot their name, she's like a, I think she's an attorney or advocate for, you know, child abuse and child safety. And it's very informative over there. So you can go check that out if you're wondering, you know, how to approach the conversation, the things to tell your child. The most important things that I think they need to be told, of course, besides for which areas of their body should never be exposed or touched, is that they should never hesitate to tell an upper staff member about any concerns, whether it be about something that happened to them or something that they've seen happen to someone else, or if someone else told them that something happened to them. And as nurses, we're a non-threatening party, and we can be a good point of contact for them if they're afraid to tell other head staff because they're afraid of repercussions. Also, be prepared for the fact that your child will learn new things from fellow campmates in camp that you may not want them knowing. You know, some information that might be very questionable. Prepare them for that ahead of time. Even if it's uncomfortable, even if you're thinking maybe they won't learn stuff, prepare them ahead of time to let them know that they can come to you if they have any questions about anything that campers share, any of the information that campers, you know, other their bunkmates share with them, and reassure them that you will not get angry at them. It's most important to keep the lines of communication open with your kids because you can't control what your kids are going to be exposed to. You know, it happens in the quote-unquote best of camps, and you know, I use that in quotes because we can never say which camp is the best, even though I'm a little bit biased about which camp is the best, you know, because where I work is an awesome camp, but even in camps where children are supposed to be the most sheltered, there's still this information that circulates. So keep the lines of communication open by reassuring your child that you will be non-judgmental, that you will openly, you know, hear what they've learned and clarify it for them. Because, again, you cannot control what your child is going to be exposed to. They will be exposed to stuff that you may not want them knowing at their age. I want to address a common complaint that I've heard over the years. Sometimes parents will call complaining that their child has had a rash or ingrown toenail or something similar and has been to the health center several times but was never seen. Okay, we get these emails, you know, occasionally here and there, but a handful every single summer. And usually that's because they came at off hours when the health center was only open for emergencies because they didn't want to come during their, you know, free period during the day because they wanted to go to the canteen and hang out with their friends. They wanted to come when their bunk was going swimming because they didn't want to go swimming. So that's the time that they decided to come to the health center, but that's the time that we were not open for regular visits. And, you know, we make it very clear to them what time we're open. So please educate your child to find out when the regular hours are for non-emergencies. And if they have any health issues, that's when they need to go. Obviously, we are always available for emergencies 24/7, and all of the staff is oriented and explains how they can reach a nurse for any emergencies at all times of day. But they will be turned away if it's not an emergency and they come during a time when it's not regular health center hours. And, you know, most of the time there's not enough staff available to actually accommodate them. But they will not be turned away if they come during regular hours and they wait their turn. They will not be turned away. Also, please educate them, actually, on that note, to make sure that they follow up if they're instructed by the nurse to do so. You know, we usually don't go running after them. It's their responsibility to follow up if we tell them that they need to. If they are old enough to go to camp, then they are old enough to follow up on a health problem. Sometimes we'll tell counselors of the youngest bunks to make sure their campers follow up, but it's not a given. I've had calls from angry parents demanding an answer as to why we didn't run after their child to follow up on a rash, for example, that was initially treated but then worsened and the camper didn't return. You know, it could be a rash that at first seems like something mild, and we give cream that will most of the time work for this particular rash, but at, you know, in this instance it didn't, and the kid doesn't follow up, and then the parents get all angry. But, you know, we see a lot of kids, and the expectation in a sleepaway camp is that if a child is instructed to follow up, if the initial treatment didn't work, they should be capable of doing so independently. You know, that's just part of the functioning that they should be able to have independently if they go to sleepaway camp. And, you know, one more thing I can think about is besides for educating your children on the personal space safety that I spoke about earlier, please educate them on proper hygienic and health behaviors. Don't assume that they know how often they're supposed to shower. Some of them don't want to miss out on a second of fun, and they think that some extra deodorant can save them the time of a couple of showers. You know, don't assume that they know. Instruct them on how to apply sunscreen and how frequently they should be doing so, because unfortunately we see a lot of sunburns, especially, you know, tell them if they're going on a hike or some trip where they're going to be outdoors, make sure that they apply that sunscreen frequently. You know, tell them, please tell them not to wear their bathing suit all day. You know, because, again, these kids, they want to have fun every single second, and the 5 minutes that it takes to change out the bathing suit is super annoying. So they just end up wearing it all day. But we see a lot of heat rashes when kids do that. When I see a heat rash right away, the first thing I ask the kid is, are you walking around in your bathing suit all day? You know, after you've been doing this for a few years, you figure out the common causes for things. And wearing bathing suits all day can cause yeast infections. Tell them that they need to drink extra water because they will be in the sun more and more active than normal. And a good sign of their hydration status is the color of their urine. I like to tell kids that their urine should be the color of lemonade and not apple juice. So again, camp is not your typical environment. It's a very different environment than what the kids are in during the rest of the year. So there are going to be different behaviors that they should be having, such as drinking a lot of extra water than they're normally used to. Please tell them that Powerade and Coke are not a substitute for water. And please tell them not to jump off of bunk beds or hang off of the rafters in the bunk because they might fall and break their arm. Tell them not to do stupid things like, you know, have three or four kids climb on top of each other and try to, you know, do crazy gymnastics moves that they've never done before. Tell them to be careful with curling irons. I can't tell you how many girls get burns from them on Friday afternoon. We inevitably have at least like one kid come with their curling iron burn. I hope that this information has been helpful to you and your kids, or you if you're actually the one going to camp. And I hope that you have a beautiful, beautiful camp experience. And don't forget about the sale on my After the Birth online course that is happening through June 30th. By using code SUMMER, you can get 20% off. If you want to hear more details about it, go two episodes back, episode 46, and I discuss it in more depth. You can find it by going to my website, yoledadacademy.com, or by clicking on the link in the episode show notes. And also, I haven't asked this in a while, but if you've been enjoying the show, please rate and review it if you have not yet done so. I love putting these episodes out, and it means so much to me to get your feedback that you're enjoying them. You know, I have an Instagram account that I love, and podcasts are, you know, they're different from social media. In many ways, great. And that's why I started a podcast. But the thing that, you know, the downside is that I don't receive like instant and a lot of feedback like I do on social media. So if you have Apple Podcasts or can get into it, even if you listen to me on Spotify, but you actually have the Apple Podcasts app on your phone, if you can leave just a short review, just hit the 5-star button. It's really, really uplifting to me. It really brings me so much joy and so much gratitude. So I would so much appreciate if you can do that. And also, please feel free to email me. You can email me, chani@yoledadacademy.com. That's chani@yoledadacademy.com. If you have any questions or if you have topic requests or if you have any general feedback. I love you all and I look forward to putting out the next great episode coming up soon.
Thanks for tuning into the Happy Birthway podcast. Head over to Yoledad Academy on Instagram to continue the conversation. You'll find the link in the episode show notes, as well as links to any additional resources, products, and services mentioned here. If you love listening to this show, you can help it grow by sharing it with your friends and rating and reviewing it. To stay in the loop when new episodes are released, make sure to subscribe. Remember that your health needs are unique and require individualized medical advice. The podcast is not a replacement, and some of the information may not be appropriate for your specific circumstances. My mission is to educate you so that you can confidently collaborate with your healthcare team. I believe that a healthy mom and healthy baby are simply not enough. We also need a happy mom with an empowering birth experience.